Right. Well, good afternoon. It's very good to be here with all of you today. I'll be talking about an issue that is not directly related to my personal healthcare training. I'm a physician and also have training in public health. But one area where we've had significant disparities across the country, but particularly in the Northern Plains with American Indians, is access to good oral health services. And I've done a lot of work as a primary care physician, and I've seen the devastation when we have children who do not have access to basic oral health services, but also the challenge in trying to manage things like diabetes when people have uncontrolled oral health problems. So this is a significant public health issue that overlaps into the world of medicine as well. And in my role as chair of the Department of Public Health at North Dakota State University, we do a lot of research and programming in an attempt to try to decrease disparities. And just as a quick plug, at NDSU, we have the only Master of Public Health program in the nation in which you can specialize in American Indian public health. So we've matriculated now in our first 4 years 20 American Indian students, including Tom Anderson's daughter, who I'll point him out real quick. He's the director of the Epidemiology Center at the Oklahoma City Area Indian Health Board. And then also very happy and honored to have one of my fellow faculty members here, Dr. Donna Granbois in the back, who is one of the few PhD-prepared nursing faculty members also with us here in public health. So I'll talk about what we've done with oral health advocacy in North Dakota and give you some of the background, but I always do want to start with this disclaimer. I'm here as a public health advocate and concerned citizen of the state of North Dakota, and my perspective is my own. It doesn't reflect the official stance by any institution, certainly not the official stance of the American Dental Association. So we'll start with that. So, oral health access issues in North Dakota. We have all kinds of challenges that we face. And unfortunately, every year, thousands of North Dakotans do not receive regular, routine dental care. And that's not unique to North Dakota. That certainly is the case in many other states in the nation as well. But in particular, what we see in North Dakota is that we do not have enough access to providers in rural areas, not enough access for low-income individuals in urban centers, and not enough access to services on Indian reservations. We have four federally recognized tribes that have their tribal headquarters located in North Dakota. And in one of the communities, when the Center for Rural Health was actually studying oral health access, they had a six-month waiting period to actually get in to see the dentist in this reservation community. Six-month waiting period. Now, if you've ever had a toothache, is that acceptable to have to wait 6 months in order to see a provider? So we face all kinds of challenges in North Dakota, but it's not just with any one demographic. It seems to overlap a number of demographics as well. One of our big challenges, 47% of dentists in North Dakota do not accept Medicaid patients. Just don't accept them. Well, why is that? Well, it turns out they can get paid more by seeing non-Medicaid payers, unfortunately. So we have seen in recent years other previous legislative sessions where they have actually increased the pay under Medicaid, particularly for children who need to see the dentist. But even though the pay is now higher under Medicaid, we still have almost half of our dentists that just simply don't accept Medicaid patients. Is that a problem? I mean, that absolutely is a significant issue. Not unique to North Dakota. 70% of children in North Dakota that were enrolled in Medicaid had not seen a dentist in 2014. 70%, not even one visit to the dentist. And access issues and having enough providers certainly is a key component to that. American Indian children had more than twice the need for treatment than their non-American Indian peers in a survey conducted in 2009 and 2010. Outside of the American Indian population, just the rural population struggles as well. Rural third graders had significantly worse oral health than their urban peers in that same time frame. Much of that is related to lack of access to oral health services. And it's not just children. One-third of all seniors have dental problems that were identified in this particular work in North Dakota. So it crosses a number of demographics, age groups, racial backgrounds, and certainly what type of insurance you may or may not have. This shows some of the disparities for American Indians. You can see history of tooth decay, untreated or rampant decay, and need for treatment, all significantly higher for American Indians. And of course, we do depend on the Indian Health Service for our oral health services primarily in North Dakota, but we just don't have enough providers. And we've been trying to come up with ways to increase access to these services, for the purpose of making sure that our children aren't suffering unnecessarily. But we'll talk about some of our challenges in terms of getting that accomplished. If we look at other issues related to disparities, we have a lot of medical shortage areas as well as dental shortage areas. And if you look at the various counties in North Dakota, the darker shaded counties are counties in which there are zero dentists. So we have a lot of areas in North Dakota where there's not a single dentist anywhere. People live in these counties, of course they are very rural, but they have to travel great distances in order to see the dentist. And if they happen to be impoverished in a rural area, many of those dentists will simply not take Medicaid. And these are children who are suffering, you know, that they have worse tooth decay, they have more pain and tooth aches, and the dental system is not caring for them. But this is not just unique to North Dakota. This is a national issue. And nearly 48 million Americans actually live in dental shortage areas. And even with insurance, if you live in a dental shortage area, of course you have dental shortages, so you have difficulty accessing services, even if you have good insurance. So it's a rural issue as well. HRSA, the Health Resources and Services Administration, projects that by 2025, so just in 10 years, the shortage of dentists will more than double from 7,000 to 15,600. So this is an issue that's going to be getting worse over time, not just in North Dakota, but in the states where you live as well. So this is an issue that we need to address now before the crisis worsens. More than half of all children on Medicaid, about 18 million of them, did not receive dental care in the year 2014. And nationally, nearly two-thirds of dentists do not accept Medicaid. So this is a big challenge. We have a lot of impoverished people. We certainly have more people with Medicaid expansion now, but if the dentists don't accept Medicaid, of course, it's going to be a big problem ensuring that children who have disparities get services. For American Indians, unfortunately, nationally, for preschool-aged children, American Indians had four times the number of untreated tooth decay than white children. So it was significantly worse for American Indians, unfortunately. And 40% of Americans, 127 million people, have no form of dental insurance, whether it's public or private. So a big challenge that we have nationally. So it's not just an issue in terms of access to services, it's also a finance issue. It's an issue related to unnecessary healthcare costs. In 2012, there were more than 2 million dental-related visits to hospital emergency rooms. Eventually, people don't have access to maintenance care for preventive services. Eventually, the tooth decay gets bad enough where it causes a crisis. So what do? They go to the emergency room for dental care. And what we find is that most of these could have been addressed in a dental office, but because they're going to the emergency room, not exactly the most financially efficient way to get health care, the cost is estimated to be about $1.6 billion. So we're all paying for this financially, even if we have access to our own insurance. So what did we try to do about this in North Dakota? There is a concept of advanced practice dental hygienists, and we convened a stakeholder group in the state of North Dakota and recommended a couple of solutions. One would be to expand the scope of practice for dental hygienists using models that are similar, such as the Appletree Dental and Children's Dental Services in Minnesota, and they both use dental therapists. And an advanced practice dental hygienist is very similar to a mid-level medical provider. And just as we saw when we were introducing mid-level providers in medicine, the American Medical Association wasn't very happy about that. And not surprisingly, trying to introduce mid-level dental providers, it's the Dental Association that is not supportive of this type of an issue, unfortunately. So Senate Bill 2354 was introduced to the North Dakota Legislative Assembly. And what this proposed bill would have allowed is for dentists to hire advanced practice dental hygienists, again, similar to mid-level medical providers. Advanced practice dental hygienists would receive additional education and training on dental procedures such as filling cavities. They would operate under the direct supervision of a dentist, and it did pass the Human Services Committee in the Senate, but it did not pass the full Senate. So within this process, we were looking at a way to try to increase access to services, but unfortunately our advocacy efforts were not successful. We, I think at the starting point, had a good group of supporters. Multiple legislators were on board, The North Dakota AARP was supportive of this because it is an issue for elders as well. North Dakota Dental Hygienists Association, North Dakota Nurse Practitioners, and the Pew Charitable Trust. And I know we have representatives from Pew here today as well. So a lot of supporters initially, but what actually happened in the process? Well, it was fascinating. We were able to get endorsements from multiple newspapers in the state of North Dakota. Their editorial boards were in favor of this particular Senate bill, recognizing that the main area of focus is to try to increase access to basic dental care in a model that has been done in other states effectively, including Minnesota, just right across the Red River from North Dakota. This is being done currently. However, the Dental Association opposed the bill, and despite evidence of the quality of care and increased access in a neighboring state, and despite the dean of the University of Minnesota Dental School endorsing this, actually at the testimony before the legislature, the dean of the medical school from which most of the North Dakota dentists graduated was in support of this concept because it's working effectively in Minnesota. But despite that, the North Dakota Dental Association fought this, and also despite the Commission on Dental Accreditation implementing standards of training. So the training would be side by side with dentists in the dental school in Minnesota. So they opposed the bill, and despite thousands and thousands of people needing services, what we saw in the advocacy realm is that a relatively small group of about 200 people who were well-funded were able to make a tremendous impact on the actual outcome. So this is from the executive director of the North Dakota Dental Association. This is a quote right from a op-ed during the time frame of the legislative session. He said, "The bill would redefine the practice of dental hygiene to include irreversible procedures currently defined in the practice of dentistry and would create a new dental provider with an unprecedented reduction in supervision." Well, they're talking about irreversible procedures, and they kind of latched onto that. And so you compare this to mid-level medical providers, but they don't do irreversible procedures. And I made the argument, if a nurse practitioner prescribes the wrong medications and the patient dies, that's pretty much irreversible. So that was a silly argument. Also saying unprecedented reduction in supervision, also untrue, unfortunately. We feel there is not enough evidence or urgency to justify a model that has had minimal history in practice. Not enough evidence, despite all the evidence in Minnesota, and 50 other nations who do the same thing. There's not enough evidence, and not enough urgency. From my perspective, what that's telling us is that they don't honestly care about the suffering of their children on Medicaid. From my perspective, it is urgent. From many of our perspectives, it is urgent, but not on the official position of the Dental Association. Now, interestingly, one of the senators is a dentist, and in this same op-ed, he stated, "Senate Bill 2354 is a radical rewrite of the North Dakota Dental Practices Act and allows providers with less training than licensed dentists to perform irreversible surgical procedures. There does not currently exist enough evidence for North Dakota to be only the fourth state since 2009 to experiment with this practice model. We also have had an adequate supply of dentists in North Dakota. In the past 5 years, the growth in the number of dentists statewide has exceeded that of our significant population growth." So their position is we have enough dentists. The data shows us that the children on Medicaid are not getting dental care, and half the dentists do not accept Medicaid. So by saying we have enough dentists, well, enough dentists for who? The wealthy insured population in the cities, yes, there's enough dentists. But for American Indians on reservations, for rural impoverished people, or urban impoverished people, there's not enough dentists, certainly not enough access to services. So the data flies in the face of their claims, yet from an advocacy perspective, they were very effective. So just looking at some of the misrepresentation of the evidence, the claims of the Dental Association included that despite authorizing dental therapists in Minnesota in 2009, Minnesotans still experience the same barriers to obtaining care. But the data shows that as of July 2011, again, just 2 years after this was implemented, 46% of the advanced hygienists in Minnesota were employed in nonprofit community clinics, also federally qualified health centers, or some hospital-owned clinics, and 43% of them worked in rural areas. So the evidence actually shows that implementing this type of provider actually increases access to services. Another claim was that many people who lack access to dental care also suffer from serious underlying oral and medical conditions that complicate the process of treating them. They should only be treated by a fully trained dentist. Well, and the fact is that the University of Minnesota educates these dental providers and dentists side by side. They're actually in the same classes and getting the same training. And both must meet the same clinical competency on the dental procedures that both are qualified to perform. So those are the facts. And then finally, they kept referring to this as an experiment. Well, mid-levels are successfully employed in over 50 other countries, as well as four states in the U.S. So I think saying that it's still experimental is probably not an accurate representation of the truth. That's as politically correctly as I can state that, I think. So what's the outcome? Well, the bill, unfortunately, was defeated in the North Dakota Senate, but the efforts of the stakeholder group and the issue, however, are not defeated. We are going to continue to move forward with this effort because our children, our elders, our impoverished brothers and sisters are depending on us to do this. And we do have good success stories from other states. So I think our strategy as we move forward includes several things, including more personal stories from people who are also voters regarding their own stories about the impact and the suffering that is caused by less access and less services. I think we presented a lot of very good data in this last round with the legislative session, but I think we need to put a human face and a human story on these efforts. The legislature's interim health committee is currently looking into dental access in North Dakota. The legislature only meets every other year, so they wind up having an interim committee meetings. More education, who else can be helped and how? So we need more of the general public to be on board to understand what we're talking about and that it's not experimental and it's not unproven, that it's working very effectively just across the river in Minnesota. But also connect with Minnesota dentists currently using mid-levels. Certainly the mid-levels that are being employed in Minnesota, it's going very well. So I think the fear that potentially it's an infringement on their scope of practice can be alleviated by hearing directly from other dentists who are doing this successfully. So that's part of our strategy. And in truth, when you look at the finances of this, when a dentist has a mid-level provider working in their office, that means a dentist can focus on the higher levels of care, which are also higher reimbursements for care. And what we're finding is that the dentists who use this model actually make more profit because they're able to generate more revenue from the mid-levels than they're actually paying the mid-levels. In addition, they're doing more of the higher levels of care. So even looking at the financial models, it's of great benefit. So the challenge is it's couched in this idea that somehow we are potentially harming people in North Dakota by including a new level of practitioner for oral health in North Dakota. But try to imagine the medical system now without nurse practitioners, without physician assistants. We wouldn't have access to nearly the access that we have to primary care services. So I think over time, this is something that will be successful. We're looking at the model that was conducted, you know, working with the AMA, and you know, American Medical Association was not happy about mid-level providers either. And I think one of the lessons learned, and it's something I think we all understood, but we were forced to face this in a very direct way, is that many of the professional organizations are not health advocates, they're professional advocates, right? They're advocating for the professionals. They are not advocating for the health of the people they are supposed to serve. And they can be powerful adversaries in this process. They have deeper pockets than most of us in public health. So we have to work together, and we have to forge ahead and ensure that we are successful to increase access to services for our people. They're depending on us. And just with the projections of dental shortages in future years, it's going to affect all of us in this room. Every state is going to have a challenge in some parts of their community to ensure that they have adequate access. And we're hoping that our progress in North Dakota will be successful, so when we present on this maybe in a year or two, it'll be a success story instead of the challenge where we are at the moment. And I think I'll end it there. Thank you all very much.